All right, everybody, welcome to another glorious week here at the Doe and 5-0 show. Joe, you got your milk and your bread, man? Got your milk and your bread?
Yeah, because, you know, we're going to be snowed in.
Getting our first snow here in Indiana today.
Looks great.
Yeah, it's pretty out there right now. It's probably going to be ugly tomorrow if the temperatures get as cold as what they're saying they are. So
be a little slick.
Little slick. I'm sure my kids won't have school either, but at least I work.
I don't think they do anyway, do they?
They do tomorrow.
I thought they were calling school off for, because that...
Oh, the red for red?
Yeah. Or is that Wednesday?
I'm not sure what day that is. No, Wednesday's a knee learning day. Going to go ahead and hop into the news here. Out of Eldon, Missouri, man, he's arrested after breaking into a store to save mannequins from sex trafficking. Mont Hardcastle is used to seeing interesting things in his line of work. He's the manager of Marty Bird's Bar and Grill at the Lake of the Ozarks. Saturday night, Hardcastle saw something new across the street. It was suspicious to me in the way that he was acting, running around in front of the boutique, yelling and screaming and banging on the windows. The boutique, named Me Dream Angels, is an adult store. It has several displays in its windows, including mannequins wearing various styles of lingerie. He said that the mannequins were telling him that they needed to be let out or something, according to Hardcastle. The man, now identified as James Isaac Short, then tried to break into the shop. Hardcastle says he watched him try the door several times. Then Short jumped onto the bench and kicked the glass window until it shattered. I told my bartender to call the police, let them know that I'm going to be over there holding this guy for them, that it wasn't a fight. He just was going to detain him. It turned into a little bit of a fight, but it wasn't that way. Hardcastle says Short was halfway into the store when he pulled him out. I had him down on the ground, and all he was doing was trying to mule kick me in the back while I was on top of him. Two women then came over and sat on Short's legs until police arrived. According to the court documents, Short caused well over $1,000 in damage, destroying a window, lighting, and a security camera. The owner of the shop told the local news station that she didn't want to talk about it. Hardcastle says with his background in security, he had to do something. It's somebody's business. I'm not the type of person to stand by and watch something happen. Short is currently in the Miller County property jail, facing property damage and burglary charges. So he broke in there because he was trying to save those mannequins from sex trafficking.
Well, he's a good man.
Heroes don't always wear capes, folks. They don't always wear capes.
Well, it's too bad they didn't get video of that. Nobody videoed that?
Apparently not. At least it wasn't part of the news.
Gosh, that'd be hilarious. That'd be great.
Out of Des Moines, Iowa, a convicted murderer who momentarily died claims his life sentence has been served. An Iowa inmate serving a life sentence says he should be a free man after he became ill, momentarily died, and had to be revived at a hospital. But the courts are not having any part of that. Benjamin Schreiber was sentenced to life in prison without parole back in 1997 after being convicted of first-degree murder. In March of 2015, he developed large kidney stones that led to septic poisoning. He eventually fell unconscious in his cell and was taken to a local hospital where he was resuscitated five different times. According to the Iowa Court of Appeals, Schreiber claims he momentarily died at the hospital, thereby fulfilling his life sentence. Because the sentence has been fulfilled, he argues, he is imprisoned illegally and should immediately be released. District Court previously denied Schreiber's motion, and on Wednesday, the Iowa Court of Appeals upheld the lower court's decision. In its opinion, the appeals court said in a plain reading of Iowa law, says defendants guilty of a Class A felony must spend the rest of their natural life in prison, regardless of how long that period of time ends up being or any events occurring before the defendant's life ends. Schreiber is either alive, in which case he must remain in prison, according to Judge Amanda Potterfield, or he is dead, in which case this appeal is moot. An attorney for Schreiber did not immediately respond to requests for comment. So is he dead? Is he alive? Either way, the court don't give a shit. You're serving out the rest of your sentence, buddy.
not knowing the victim's family and stuff like that. If we can forget about that part, that's pretty funny. And I kudos to the guy for coming up with that.
It's creative thinking.
It was very creative thinking.
Out of San Diego, California. San Diego International Airport spokesperson said Wednesday a reported paging that went viral was an accidental mistake. A video on Twitter claimed to show San Diego Airport's messaging system announcing a page for Epstein cover-up on a digital display. The text report read, "Airport is paging Epstein cover-up. Please meet your party at Terminal 2 by American Airlines." So we'll put the video... You know, it's funny how the Epstein thing kind of died down for a minute. It resurfaced again.
Yes.
So we'll put the video up there for you guys to see. I mean, this isn't fake news. This actually happened at the San Diego airport. So You can see the cameraman walking up there to the screen, the messaging screen. Airport is paging. Epstein cover up. Please reach your party at Terminal 2. So I thought that was pretty funny.
I've heard this is all irrelevant, though.
Oh, it's irrelevant, yeah. Man steals electric shopping cart and drives it to a bar to avoid a DWI. Livingston Parish man was arrested Sunday after he allegedly stole an electric shopping cart from Walmart because he thought it would save him from getting a DWI. The parish sheriff's office says it responded to a bar along Corporate Drive in Yuma around midnight after getting a report that someone had shown up in the parking lot riding in the stolen cart. Deputies found the cart parked between two other vehicles. Hey, at least he legally parked in the bar's parking lot. Deputies soon confronted 32-year-old Bryce Williams of Denham Springs, who was suspected of taking the cart for a joyride. Williams admitted to stealing the cart from the nearby Walmart, saying he had come from another bar and feared he would get arrested for DWI if he rode his own vehicle to the bar. Williams was booked on one count of unauthorized use of a movable. His bond was set at $2,500.
So not really a joyride. He had a purpose.
Yeah.
And I once again give the man credit. I mean...
He even legally parked the thing. I mean,
he did, and he didn't want to drive his own vehicle, so he didn't get a DWI, though, did he?
It did. Well, no, I don't think I said that.
He got all the other shit, yeah. But not a DWI, which will ruin your life. So I think he still wins.
And a follow up to one of our stories from last week, Joe out of St. Paul, Minnesota. Krispy Kreme has now reached an agreement with a Minnesota college student who drove to Iowa every weekend to buy hundreds of donuts to resell them in the Twin Cities area.
Finally, somebody grew a brain.
The company said in a statement Monday that Jason Gonzalez of Champlin can now work with Krispy Kreme as an independent operator. The deal also includes a 500 dozen donut donation when he starts the business back up again. The St. Paul Pioneer Press reports the 21-year-old Gonzalez also announced the deal on his Facebook page, admitting that he's pumped up to continue his business. Last week, Krispy Kreme told Gonzalez to stop the resale venture because it created a liability for the company. The company has now said in a statement Monday that the temporary stoppage was to ensure product quality and regulatory compliance. Or just because they were getting their asses beat down on social media, probably.
Yeah, because they were really stupid. Now imagine how he'd do if he'd sell good donuts.
Yeah.
Not that crap.
That's all we got for the news this week. Stay tuned for This Week in Florida.
In Florida, a young man was longing to do something fun to make the time pass. He grabbed a screwdriver right from his toolbox, then proceeded to jam it up his... What the hell is with Florida, where all crazy shit seems to come from? A week won't pass by without lots of stories proving that Florida's dumb.
That's so funny. All right, everybody, welcome to This Week in Florida. I wasn't sure if I should put this in the political garbage segment or Florida. Kind of borders on both, so I thought I'd throw it in Florida because ultimately the idiocracy stems out of Florida. Man sues Madonna, Joe, saying that her 10:30 p.m. concert start is just too late.
Oh, that is.
There's something you all need to understand, Madonna said during her Las Vegas concert while perched atop a piano with her legs swinging around, and that is that a queen is never late. The megastar spoke those words to fans during the show this week, posting the video to Twitter on Saturday. And despite the cheers that came from that crowd, not everyone agrees. One Florida fan is betting the law won't agree either. Nate Hollander is taking the singer to court over her late start times. Hollander filed a lawsuit Monday in Miami-Dade County Court against both Live Nation Tickets and Madonna. He alleges that the change in start times for her Madam X tour is a breach of contract made between her and the ticket buyer. In August, when Hollander bought the tickets to Madonna's December 17th show at the Fillmore Miami Beach, the concert was scheduled to begin at 8:30 p.m. But on October 23rd, Madonna and Live Nation announced the start time for that show and several others to start now at 10:30 p.m.
Well, that's kind of a big difference.
Yeah, for those like Hollander who bought tickets and now don't want to attend a concert that late, the refund has not been offered. And attempts to resell won't make up for that money lost, as tickets have now suffered an extreme loss of value because of the time change. That makes reselling them impossible, he says. Hollander originally bought three tickets to Madonna's Miami Beach show, Joe, spending $1,024.95.
Well, he's stupid anyway, isn't he?
But since the show is now starting later than originally planned, he claims that he and other ticket holders suffered actual and consequential damages, including, but not limited to, loss of consideration paid and the devaluation of the ticket. CNN has reached out to Madonna and Live Nation for via email and voicemail, but requests for comment have yet to be returned.
Got a lot of things going on here. Okay, first of all, he spent over $300 a ticket.
Yeah.
For Madonna.
Yeah.
So I question
insanity
a lot about him already. And then because it started 2 hours later, he doesn't want to go. Huh?
Yeah, I mean,
I get it. I mean, that's too late for me, but it would have to be an act that
I'm kind of thinking 8:30 is too late for me.
At 8:30 is that's past my bedtime already, but I wouldn't have went. I mean, if you said, hey, Joe, I've got these tickets to Madonna, I'd say, well, good, because we need kindling for the fire.
Yeah.
But if, let's say it was somebody that was actually good, then would I guess I'd still stay. I mean,
this is the first time I've seen Madonna's name in the headlines in eons, it seems like. But so apparently she's still relevant.
Huh.
especially at $300 a ticket.
I guess.
That's crazy to me. But that, I mean, come on, dude. You're not going to win that lawsuit. Not against Madonna or Live Nation.
She's laughing. Right as we speak, we're laughing. If she's up yet.
Yeah. She's, well, her concert doesn't start for another 7 hours.
Yeah, she's got plenty of time.
Orangutan granted legal personhood settles into his new Florida home. This is another one that borderlined on political garbage in Florida, but once again, that stems out of Florida. So,
does he identify as a human? Well, so therefore, he is.
There's a handsome fellow there.
You know what? That guy that was there for the hurricane, remember? When he was talking about those planes there that they go the other way. Looks a lot like that orangutan. Yeah.
Whatever happened to that guy? He was awesome.
He was. The Hawaiian shirt and everything.
Well, out of Wachula, Florida, a 33-year-old orangutan, man, this thing's lived a long time, granted legal personhood by a judge in Argentina, is now settling into her new surroundings at the Center for Great Apes in Central Florida. Patty Reagan, director of the Center of Wachula, Florida, says Sandra is very sweet and inquisitive and adjusting to her new home. She was born in Germany and spent 25 years in the zoo there before arriving in Florida on November 5th. She was shy when she first arrived, but once she saw the swings, toys, and grassy areas in her new home, she went out to explore. She's met her caregivers here and is adjusting well to the new climate, environment, and other great apes at the center. This is the first time in over a decade that Sandra has had the opportunity to meet other orangutans, and she will meet them when she chooses. It's a new freedom for her, and one we are grateful to provide. Judge Eleanor Liberated Buttafuoco's landmark ruling in 2015 declared that Sandra is legally not an animal, Joe, but a non-human person, thus entitled to some legal rights enjoyed by people and better living conditions. With that ruling, I wanted to tell society something new, that our animals are sentient beings, and that the first right they have is our obligation to respect them. But without a clear alternative, Sandra remained at the antiquated zoo, which closed back in 2016, until leaving for the U.S. in late September. She's in quarantine for the month in Kansas before arriving in Florida. She's now joined 21 other orangutans and 31 chimpanzees. She is...
What? Was the judge from Argentina? And then the orangutan was in Germany? This is very confusing. That ape, or that orangutan doesn't even speak English.
Yeah, I'm not sure where the judge is from.
I thought you said she was from Argentina, so I... Because that struck me. That's confusing. What the hell would she have to do with this?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not seeing where the actual court ruling came down, but she's...
Is it a German monkey?
This thing was born and raised in Argentina. This ruling came down from a judge in Argentina.
Right. I was paying attention. We really need to write this down.
So she was... this ruling came out of Argentina.
All right.
The orangutan spent most of her life in Germany at the zoo there.
Before. How did that happen?
I don't know. But she, the kicker of all this is, it's this monkey.
It's a monkey. It's a monkey.
It's been granted personhood, whatever the hell that
is. Non-human personhood.
Non-human personhood. And of course, it lives in Florida.
What? So did the Germans honor this too, or they're going, oh hell no.
They're probably thinking, this is jacked up. This thing's going to live in Florida with all the other psychos. We've got an ape that's not an ape, but it's not really a human. It's just a, no,
it's a non-human, hood,
non-human person
hood thing that speaks German and perhaps Spanish.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'm not amazed by anything. Well, perhaps I am.
Perhaps you are. Out of DeSoto County,
Florida. You know what? That does not qualify as personhood.
Out of DeSoto County, Florida. Be careful what you wish for. A Florida man that learned that lesson the hard way when he took to social media to express his innocence in a crime. The DeSoto County Sheriff's Office posted a photo of Cody Pierce on October 31st, saying he is wanted for stealing more than $1,000 worth of merchandise from Walmart. According to the post, on October 27th of 2019, Michael Meacham of Arcadia and Cody Pierce of Sarasota stole well over $1,000 worth of merchandise from a Walmart here in DeSoto County. Lieutenant Jose Rea, with the assistance of Arcadia Police Department officers Buttafuoco, Gary Gamet, and Jonathan Strong, were able to locate Michael and take him into custody without incident. An arrest warrant was issued for Cody. So they posted all these pictures on, I assume, their Facebook or page or Twitter page or something, of the handsome gentleman there.
They are good-looking guys.
The next day, Pierce told his side of the story in the comments on the post, saying he has money and he doesn't need to steal and he has a lawyer. Just for situations like this, who is very hungry for a case of slander and defamation of character. He went on to ask the sheriff's office to remove his picture because he played no part in the crime. The sheriff replied to him, asking him to come to the office so they could remove the wanted photo and replace it with his bookend photo, Joe. To make matters worse, a Florida bail bonds company also commented on the post saying Pierce owed them money. Less than a week after Pierce's wanted photo hit Facebook, the sheriff's office kept its word and posted his mugshot on the post instead.
Oh, goodness.
The caption read, Cody, it is, quotation marks, it isn't me, Pierce, was arrested today in Sarasota County. As promised, we are now replacing Cody's previous photo with his bookend photo.
Why do people always say that? I have an attorney.
Yeah.
You can't afford anything.
A public defender is not does not count as your personal attorney.
And once again, I'll take the monkey.
Yeah. Well, here comes the musical masterpiece for this week. Florida man has surgery to remove a screwdriver from his rectum. That's right. Out of Miami, Florida, a 46-year-old man was admitted into a Florida hospital for surgery to remove a full screwdriver from his rectum.
Was this a Phillips or a regular?
I don't know. I don't know if it says. According to the report, the man, who suffers from schizophrenia and bipolar disorder, entered into an operation room in septic shock, complaining of a week-long abdominal and pelvic pain. Doctors performed a CT scan of the man's abdomen area and found what appeared to be a screwdriver.
And he had no idea what was causing this. How did that get there?
The tool
it's not appeared, mine.
Shockingly, the tool appeared to have pierced part of his large intestine.
Ooh.
Doctors originally attempted to remove the screwdriver without surgery, but they were unsuccessful due to large amounts of blood and hard feces. The doctors then turned to surgery to remove the foreign object. After opening the man up, they noticed the screwdriver had pierced through the large intestine and dug itself into the buttock muscle. Surgeons drained the right buttock abscess and performed a colostomy to redirect the waste into a bag outside of his body. The screwdriver was successfully removed, and the patient was found to be doing well during his two-week follow-up. Surgery details were posted in the Annals of Medicine and Surgery to stress the importance for surgeons to maintain a high suspicion when encountering psychiatric patients.
Not annals.
Of lower stomach or rectal pain. Additional x-ray photos we'll put them up here for everybody to see.
So, goody.
You know, it doesn't really say how the screwdriver got there.
He must have sat on it. I'm sure that's what happened. It was
must
an accident.
Wink it ink.
Yep. Wonder, you still have that picture there? Oh, okay. I was just wondering which end he put in first. And I don't know why I was so morbid to even wonder that, but I am. Lee sent me that story because right before I got home, I said, oh, wait, I haven't done a song yet. He sent me that story, and I'd pulled over, and I looked at the very first line of it, and I had a song. Sometimes it takes a whole 3 minutes to come up with a song, but this took 3 seconds to come up with something.
Well, that's all we got for this week in Florida. Appreciate everybody watching along. Stay tuned for this week in political garbage.
Oh, we probably have a lot to talk about.
We have a lot in political garbage this week. It's probably going to be our longest political garbage segment we've ever had.
Am I going to get fired up?
So, probably.
Oh, good. So, that's the best. All right,
stay tuned.
Bye.
All right, everybody, welcome to This Week in Political Garbage. We've got several things we're going to touch on this week. We usually touch on one story a week. I had several I couldn't choose from, so might be a little bit longer. So for those of you that like that segment, this one's going to be for you this week. So
for those who don't, well, see you next week.
See you next week. We're going to start off with your favorite coffee company, Joe, Starbucks.
Starbucks.
Starbucks headline reads, Merry Coffee Cups Look a Lot Like Christmas Without Saying It. So I don't know if you've seen in years past, people have been kind of offended by Starbucks' coffee cups. People used to go nuts for these coffee cups. They still do. Every holiday season, they always come up with these fancy designs, as you can see in the photo here.
Yeah, very nice.
And they used to say Merry Christmas, stuff like that. And over the last 2 or 3 years, they refuse to say Christmas on there now.
Yeah, because somebody's going to be offended by it.
Starbucks' new coffee cups this year, Joe, are beginning to look like Christmas, but they don't name the holiday at all. The coffee chain is unveiling Thursday, or they revealed last Thursday, 4 new seasonal cups, and none of them uses the word Christmas. The closest it gets are the words Merry Coffee on 2 of the 4 designs, or We Wish You a Merry Coffee on a newly designed sleeve. Where does the stupidity stop with this nonsense?
It's not. I saw a really cool meme. It said, at 18 in the 40s, 18-year-old was storming the beaches of Normandy. 18-year-old mm-hmm. now needs her own special space because somebody hurt their feelings with words.
Safety pin on my collar. A special tree to go hide under.
You see him jumping out of their boats and running onto the beaches and, hey, they're shooting at us. Stop it. Stop it.
You know, to me, a really good movie, and it got to me the first time I watched it because that was my grandfather, you know, when the Second World War mm-hmm. began. And to me, an excellent movie for probably any generation, but especially the young generation now that is so easily offended and thinks that their voice should be the only voice that matters in any political climate discussion. Saving Private Ryan, did you ever watch that movie?
Yeah, I did.
Excellent movie.
Yep.
And it portrayed, if you go back and watch some documentaries on the film, they actually used a lot of surviving vets from that war to make that as realistic as possible. The battle scenes and the landing on Normandy and the different encounters and stuff they had. I mean, they scoured all over the country trying to get these guys in there. Mm-hmm. And from the recollection, of course, a lot of those guys, my grandfather included, didn't really like to talk about.
Yeah, that was their generation.
Imagine being 18, and you know, if you do your homework, a lot of those kids were being sent over there weren't quite 18 yet, too. No. Even so,
well, a lot of, and that was not because the service was pulling them out.
Yeah,
they wanted to go.
Right, they wanted to fight for their country, and you know, they believed in the cause. And now we have kids that are offended by words like Christmas and.
Yeah. Are you offended when someone says Happy Hanukkah? Or do you want to go into your happy space and talk to a
greatest Hanukkah
counselor?
Song there is. You ever heard the Hanukkah songs by Adam Sandler?
Oh, he's
masterpieces.
Awesome. Yes, he is. That guy. Boy, can we get him on the show?
I'm sure he watches every week. So,
well, Adam, if you're watching, I can scoot over.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, stupid.
Just yeah, stupid, so. Yeah.
Moving on to the next story, out of Washington. Do you pick up your kids from school? Do they take the bus home? Do you make them sit in the school library for 2 hours while you wrap up at work like many other working families? Majority of schools in the United States end class at 3 p.m. across the country. But the average American parent is working from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. or a similar variation. I have no idea what those hours are. Have you ever worked those hours?
No.
As a result, most families struggle to balance these two drastically different schedules. In an attempt to fix this issue, Senator Kamala Harris, Democrat out of California, has proposed legislation that would better align the school and the workday. The legislation, titled the Family-Friendly Schools Act, is geared towards supporting working families who struggle to handle a school schedule and a work schedule. School schedules are at the product of a bygone era when most mothers stayed at home and children were expected to help with the family business or farm after school. Some literature suggests that the modern 180-day school calendar was created in the late 19th century. A lot has changed through the last 100 years. These days, 75% of women with school-aged children work, while kids are expected to be, well, kids once school instruction is finished. In 2016, the Center for American Progress reported school schedules are doing more harm to harm American families than help. The authors of the report suggested creating a pilot program that supports a 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. schedule for schools, with compensation for teachers who want to work longer hours and minimum length for instruction. This is Senator Harris's aim with her proposed legislation for the Family-Friendly Schools Act. It would award five-year grants of up to $5 million to 500 U.S. school districts with the purpose of building a new school day around an 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday school week, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. The bill would also limit the amount of days schools can close without offering free full-day enrichment activities for students. Again, this is all to better align the limited number of days that parents can take off from work. On average, schools shut down for 29 days during the school year and close for the entire summer. Meanwhile, 39% of all workers and 80% of low-wage workers don't get any paid vacation time at all. These grants would primarily serve low-income elementary schools where there's likely a high percentage of working parents. This goes on for a little while. But basically, the bill, when you open it up, I think it's like 17, 18 pages long. She's doing away in her bill. She's wanting the school day to be 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., 5 days a week. And other than major national recognized federal holidays, no more school closure. So you're talking no more fall break, no more spring break, no more Christmas break.
10 hours a day all through the year?
Yeah, no summer break, no spring break, no fall break, no Christmas break, no nothing. Only just the major holidays. So you're looking at, like probably New Year's Day, Christmas Day, stuff like that.
Right.
And
That doesn't seem. I see what she's trying to do. I kind of. But nobody works 9 to 5 anymore. I don't know anybody that works 9 to 5. So I don't know how that would.
Here's the thing.
People have been making this work
for decades.
I can see why they would want it. I mean, things.
You cannot keep a kid's attention from 8 a.m.
No, no,
to 6
no. PM. I don't think that's right. I can barely
keep it from 8 to 3.
Yeah, but I can. I see what I know that. That there's issues sometimes. I've been fortunate being self-employed and Peru's so small. When something happened, I could take off of work and run and get my kid or something and come back. But I can see that there could be some change, but that's not it. That 10 hours, 5 days a week. I mean, I can see 10 hours if they do something, but.
So here's the deal. You can't. Yeah, this is coming from a guy that still has
12,000-13,000
children.
5 million
kids in school, yes. Right? So my kids that are in extracurricular activities, they already exceed this much time in school every day.
Right.
So, my two oldest daughters that are in athletics right now, they get at school, say, between 8, 8:15, their school day starts. They have to stay after for either a practice or a game. So if it's practice, usually they're going to get home between 5:30 and 6. If it's a game day,
and they got to figure out their own way home. I mean, mom's going to pick them up, or they're going to get a ride. This is always going to happen, no matter what they do with the schedule.
But
they make it a 9 or an 8 to 10 or whatever the hell they were going to say.
Here's my thing is, and it's been this way forever.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at the high school aspect of it, because my wife and I talked about this a lot this year. Our oldest daughter is a varsity player on a volleyball team at her school. And so she would get at school, 8, 8:15 every morning. And on game days, she's expected to stay after school. They do whatever. They do a little bit of practice time, warming up, stuff like that. But then she has to sit there for the JV game, which starts around 6. And then varsity will hit the floor between any time, depending on how long that game takes, anytime between 7 and 7:30. So she's not getting home till usually and varsity games and volleyball last an eternity sometimes.
Right.
So, I mean, you're looking at her getting home anytime between, 9 and 10 o'clock at night. So she's at school for over 12 hours, 2-3 days a week at least. And how are you going to do extracurriculars, which to me are very important, because you're seeing less and less of that out of this generation that's growing up now, because they only care about staring at their their phones and their tablets and their laptops. So it's nuts to me. It really is. Kids need time to be kids. They need time to unwind. And if you're expecting them to work from, or I say work, that pretty much is like work for them.
Mm-hmm.
Go to school from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. and you're inevitably going to have teachers sending homework home on top of that.
Right.
Well, hell, by the time they get that done and eat dinner, it's time for bed. And then just to start the cycle over again for the next, 5 days. So.
Well, you just never get a, you wouldn't be able to play any sports.
Yeah, so.
There's just no way.
It's not going to work, lady. It's not going to work. And you're not going to get teachers that want to freaking work the entire year like that either. I mean,
Think she even talked to one teacher or one student? Where did she come up with this?
I don't know, but I bet you some way, somehow in that bill, she financially benefits from
it. As long as she doesn't make over a certain amount.
Did you see any of the big college game of the weekend, Joe, LSU versus Alabama?
I saw one part of it, and I'm hoping you're going to play it.
It was this year's version of the game of the century, right? Number 2 versus number 3 took place in Alabama Stadium, which, I mean, forever, they've been almost unbeatable in there for many years, especially with Nick Saban as a coach. So we see a lot of things on the news where, the president will attend different sporting events, and depending on where he's at in the country, he gets booed straight out of the building.
Yep.
I thought this. I'm just.
And I've heard. I've been reading all the news, and everybody hates Trump.
Yeah. So, this stadium for this game, Joe, there was over 100,000 people in attendance at this game. Let's take a look at the video from the Alabama game.
They seem pretty excited, Lee.
Over 100,000 people there. You can see, this isn't a Photoshop video.
Do you hear any boos?
If they're in there, they're getting drowned out by the cheers.
I think I see somebody being beat up.
Yeah. Just don't believe everything CNN tells you. That's
no
all I got to say.
No kidding. Wow, an entire stadium.
I just thought that was a kind of a neat clip to watch. So
yeah.
whether you like the guy or you don't, I don't care. I don't care where you stand, but I just thought that video was very fascinating because you typically only see the negative stuff. Well, Trump went to a game in Washington, a basketball game in Washington, and got booed out of the building. Well, no shit.
He went to California. Yeah. He got booed.
this last thing we're gonna see here, Joe, California. Hmm. It's about a 5-minute long video. We've touched on this before in stories about their homeless situations there. This is a really entertaining video I came across. Not entertaining, but interesting.
I was just going to say, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, it's not entertaining, but it's an interesting video. So if we can get it to load here. California.
There are staggering new statistics on homelessness.
60,000 people are now homeless in LA County.
Tents now line streets all over Los Angeles.
Block after block, tent after tent.
The city says they legally can't do anything about removing the homeless.
It's honestly like Armageddon. It's post-apocalyptic. It's lawless. It's chaos.
No, it might as well be a third world country, though. I mean, it might as well be the apocalypse.
Any and everywhere you go, in and out of stores, homeless, homeless, homeless.
Homelessness is rising in California in part because housing costs and rents have skyrocketed.
Experts say the high cost of living is a major factor.
There's a shortage of affordable housing.
It's housing inventory.
Housing. Smokes and crack.
Affordable housing.
Affordable housing.
Affordable housing. Affordable housing.
This isn't a housing problem. That's a hoax. It's a mental health crisis and addiction crisis.
A winner!
Full on.
They're drug addicts, and they can't live that kind of lifestyle in a shelter.
Well, you're going to use that needle?
Yes.
The street life is like, it's addicting.
Start doing heroin again.
You're living out here by choice.
Oh, 100%.
So are you happy with this lifestyle for now, or would you rather get off the streets?
I'm content with it right now.
I didn't like living sober, doing the right thing, because people don't appreciate it.
It's easier to survive this way than it is, I guess, to actually look for a job and do everything else.
So it is Prop 47, Prop 57, so people came out of the prisons, and people that had mental illness that shouldn't have been in prison in the first place, frankly, ended up on the streets.
Get the fuck out of here, motherfucker!
then because we made drugs legal, essentially, in California, the drug users are here now because they don't get hassled. And if you're a drug addict, then you know it's warm. And by the way, you can steal $950 a day and not even get hit for a misdemeanor.
What you have to do, beat my ass? You're not going to sue me for that, right?
Crimes committed by homeless people are way up.
He told us crime has been on the rise as homelessness has increased in the neighborhood.
I worry when I walk outside, I'm always on guard, making sure that I'm okay.
How safe do you feel?
Not safe at all.
Did you ever see I Am Legend?
Yes.
Okay. Remember when all the crazy zombie people are running at once?
Yeah.
That's what it's like.
A shirtless maniac armed with rocks.
A homeless person bit off part of his finger.
Pushes the man into the street.
A nasty attack inside a Westside McDonald's.
A stabbing on Hollywood Boulevard.
Goes on a rampage with an axe.
A woman beaten to death with a scooter.
Just last week, they found just a torso in a shopping cart, burned.
The suspect murdered and set the victim on fire.
It's unsafe. I don't want to go to the grocery store and worry about my life.
New rules on plastic straws officially go into effect today.
People are defecating and urinating all over the streets.
They're excrement and they're bleeding and they're urinating in the street every day. That is getting washed directly into the LA River, into the ocean every day.
This is like a petri dish for disease.
He knows. He contracted staph. It cost him his leg.
Tuberculosis exploding. We will see Yersinia, which you may know as plague.
And an army of rats, millions strong, has overthrown Los Angeles.
So typhoid fever means, oh, now we have oral fecal contamination, so that's going to mean parasites and cholera. Here we go.
These kinds of fires, often started accidentally by the homeless, are erupting with growing frequency across the city. 2,500 of them last year.
That car is gonna blow!
We have done everything we possibly can to enable this population to stay there without seeking help on their own.
Permanently forcing people to go from one place to the next while they're trying to get out of homelessness doesn't solve the problem.
This is the dirty little secret. Most of them don't want the help and don't want the housing. And this because of the brain condition.
A homeless industrial complex is at work.
The record spending to resolve it all.
Construction has become so expensive, $500,000 per room, the city is running out of money.
Yet the crisis is still growing.
This housing thing is a disaster.
Not a single unit has opened in the 3 years since voters approved the bond measure.
Not one. They're supposed to build 10,000 and after 3 years, not one?
That is correct.
Voters are angry.
I voted for Eric Garcetti. I feel betrayed personally.
You guys are spending too much fucking taxpayer money.
The money's been stolen. Stolen and wasted.
How many people must die before you change the rhetoric?
We're at the breaking point. The mayor insists his plans are working. They just need more time.
This is the worst government imaginable.
I disagree. I completely disagree. I'll just say I completely disagree.
There's nobody here that gives a fuck.
Oh, that was very sad.
So, and everybody's watched that with us. I loaded that up so we could all watch it together and listen to it if you're just a listener. I mean, we've talked about how crazy California is. That really brings it into perspective from the outside looking in, right? So they are typically a very predominant Democratic stronghold on Los Angeles and in California as a whole. That's a Democratic mayor that you saw on the video. We've seen the same types of things in Detroit, right? New Orleans.
Chicago.
We're seeing the same types of problems. So this isn't just unique to California. It's just that California is so much bigger. And this video took place mostly out of Los Angeles, which is a huge, huge, huge city. And you can see, you've seen these things. I'm sure you've read or seen pictures of tent cities in different places throughout the country. And they're on a much larger scale in the bigger metropolis areas like Los Angeles and Detroit and Chicago. And with these types of issues, obviously, as you're seeing here, drugs are completely out of control. These people have mental stability problems, drug addiction, and it's just a vicious cycle until they eventually just they die off is what happens. And who cares? From a political standpoint, I'm not saying that I don't care. I'm saying who cares enough to try and make the change.
Well, and then they said that they voted something to get all this housing. It's been 3 years and they haven't. Yeah. But that housing's not, honestly, even if they get all this housing, it solves nothing.
Yeah, who pays for it?
And now they're all going to be in a house doing drugs and stealing, and they're just going to have shelter now, which that's good, but...
It gets them off the streets to an extent, but they're still going to be on the road, you know, the certain areas of town, you know, dealing dope and buying dope. And
well, and that one girl was saying, and she didn't look like she was completely messed up yet, but she said it was a lot easier than getting a job.
Yeah, they don't want to work. They don't want to do anything. That's like, the problem. Wow. Most of these people don't even want to help themselves. And
that's what one person was saying, that it looked like there was two sides to that. But
so, and I'm not familiar with all the laws in California by any stretch of the imagination. I took a few notes there. So according to this news piece, over 60,000 homeless in Los Angeles right now. 60,000 people, Joe.
Wow.
You can steal up to, and I don't know how they monitor this, but they said that you can steal up to $950 worth of merchandise a day and not face so much as a misdemeanor charge.
But what? Because they don't have time. They don't have room in their courts.
So I know $950 probably isn't a lot in L.A., I guess, but you know, you're talking about $1,000 here in Indiana. Holy cow.
Yeah.
You know? So, and I get that they probably got overcrowding problems, but you know what? So does every jail in every county, everywhere in the United States.
Right.
So that's crazy to me. You get $950 worth of, no wonder they don't want to get a damn job. No. $950 worth of merchandise and you're not going to go to jail.
A day. So yeah, it's almost $7,000 a week that you can have.
That is insane to me.
Full free.
But they are concerned, Joe. They are concerned about plastic straws. They've passed laws about banning plastic straws.
And don't call it a manhole. It's a utility hole. I
forgot about that. Berkeley, yeah.
I'm still pissed off about that.
So, getting off topic here a little bit. Have you ever drank out of one of those paper straws yet?
No.
It's the most irritating thing you'll ever do in your entire life. I don't remember. I went through a drive-thru somewhere. I can't remember. Was it McDonald's?
I think that's what we had back in the day, our cardboard straws.
Oh, they're awful because they claim that they're just as good as the plastic straws, right? But if they sit in the liquid for too long, they start to disintegrate a little bit.
Right.
It's nasty.
And you don't get
it's absolutely nasty.
Suction either. I don't use straws, so I'd,
so I don't. I mean, unless I go through the drive-thru somewhere, I don't typically mess with them either. But yeah, really, we're going to worry about manhole covers and
they've got a big problem. That needs
60,000 homeless people on our streets.
You know,
maybe we need to make laws
and
to
maybe
fix that.
Maybe they can't do anything about all those people, but maybe they need to start with the younger generation to keep them. There needs to be, we need to be more proactive about getting our kids not into drugs and showing them the right way right now, because that's a mess over there. That really bothered me seeing that.
Yeah, it's insane. I mean, it doesn't even look like you should be, you know, you talk about people that just live there, you know, looking over their shoulder everywhere they go. And
you know, and they don't know any better because honestly...
Can't even drive their car down the street without somebody throwing a brick or rock through their windows.
Yeah, if they, you know, and they're probably thinking they have no place to go, but they could move to Central Indiana. Yeah. And for a fraction, we have three factories in town hiring people, and they could have their own house.
Does Kathy, or do you ever watch any of those, what is the network? My wife really likes it, HGTV. Have you ever watched any of those shows on there where they, I don't know what any of them are called, but basically that, you know, they'll go to,
they usually fix up houses and stuff like that.
Right.
Is that what you're talking about? Or,
you know, they'll flip houses, or some of them are a realtor will take these people to three or four houses and then they'll pick one of those at the end of the day. But the amount of living space you get in California, I mean, you're looking at like a, you know, 800, 900 foot square house for over $1 million.
Yeah.
You would get that here where we live for, depending on where it's at, what, between $50,000 and $70,000 probably, depending on how nice it is. But
Actually, that less than that.
But, you know, for $1 million, you know, they're spending $1 million on a freaking 800-foot square house. You get a freaking mansion here in Indiana, a nice one.
Yeah.
So why anybody chooses to live in that type of environment is insane.
You know, my oldest one, April, you've met her, she she does really well. She's got a very bright future, and at one time, she talked about moving out to San Diego, and I said, you know, the cost of living, and we, I have an app on my phone that'll tell you if you make this much in Peru, Indiana, how much you'd need to make in San Diego to have the same quality of life. And it was amazing how much more she had to make. And she would make more out there, but she wouldn't make that much more. And I said, you know, if you work here and you stay here, you can keep making what you're making. And when you're getting your 2 weeks off a year, you can go wherever you want to go. And then you can come back home to your unlocked house and go right back at it. And
don't leave your house unlocked. I don't care what you say.
Well, yeah, you probably should. But what I'm saying is it's safer here. And it's cheaper here. And it's, we don't have... You know, we talk about the drug problems around here, and there is a drug problem here, but it's certainly not what...
Well, it's because we're a fraction of the size of a place like Los Angeles, but you know, when you're looking at that, when you've got a homeless population of 60,000 people, I mean, if you go to a freaking, I don't know, you go watch a Pacers game or a Colts game, they don't sit 60,000 people in there. And look how full that is. When that's a sold-out crowd, can you imagine that whole stadium being filled with homeless people? When you have that problem, that's where your drug problems come from. That's where your people are getting battered. They're getting raped. They're getting abducted. Your businesses are getting burglarized constantly.
You get $950 a day.
Yeah.
You get nothing for it. And they
I can live off of $7,000 a week pretty comfortably. I don't know about you.
and their drugs basically are... not being that there's no drug enforcement.
Yeah.
And so I highly doubt they have enough policemen there to even patrol they did.
Yeah. I don't know how big LAPD is, and I know it's a massive police force, but anybody else, it's still not big enough.
I hope they get paid a lot.
Well, it's funny that you said that, because I just saw a flyer or something they were advertising for. Police officer, I think it was LAPD or one of the bigger areas there, and the starting pay, when you first saw it, it was some serious eye candy, right? It was like something crazy, like $130,000-$140,000 a year, and you're thinking, holy cow, you know? And then you start thinking about it, you know, you get on something like that, and you think, that's not going to get me very far in Los Angeles. And LA's so big, they have to live in LA.
Yeah.
So, and that's going to get them a shoebox of an apartment.
Honestly, you're going to die anyway.
Yeah.
It's not like you're going to enjoy that. You're only getting like two or three of those checks and you're done anyway.
So, I don't know what the solution is. I don't live there. I'm not a politician by any stretch of the imagination, but they've got a serious, serious problem there. And, you know, when you got even celebrities there, like Joe Rogan, he's, you know who that is?
Yeah.
So he's the big UFC guy, right? One of the announcers. He has his own talk show and stuff, too.
Didn't he used to be on Fear Factor?
Yeah, he hosted Fear Factor.
I know him.
I mean, Joe's been around for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, when he says, you're basically looking at Armageddon.
Yeah.
That doctor, I can't think of his name, he was on there, too. It's insanity. It's like zombie land watching those videos, right? So...
But, you know, we used to have mental health institutions, but we don't anymore.
Yeah. I don't know.
Or are they overfilled just like the prisons?
Yeah. I mean, when you're talking mental health, my brain goes back to Arkham Asylum type stuff, right? Where they shock the crap out of you. And
right.
Maybe those still exist somewhere. I'd be surprised, but I suppose it's possible.
It helped me.
Yeah. I mean, look how upstanding Joe is.
Look how well adjusted I've become.
He's 140 years old, and he only looks like he's in his 40s. It's great. So I don't know. That's all we got for political garbage this week. I just thought that was an interesting news piece to throw in there.
That was a very sad way to end this. This is supposed to be a fun show.
Well, I mean,
I'm a little depressed.
Political garbage isn't always fun. It's usually one of us getting fired up about something. So
yeah, but this is just sad.
So
I don't mind getting mad when they want to make the tampons for boys, too.
Here, we'll make you happy again.
Okay. They love him. That had to feel good for him, too, to finally be in a stadium where everyone's cheering.
I think moving to Alabama.
You think he needs to stay south a little bit more? I feel bad for his wife. Because, honestly, I don't think Trump gives a crap if you boo him or spit on him or anything. But I'd imagine his wife is bothered by that kind of stuff.
All right. Maybe that's feel good ending for some of you. Maybe if it's not, oh well.
Just made you matter. Watch those followers drop again.
And they go right back in. That's all we got for the show this week. Appreciate everybody watching along. We'll see you guys next week. Take care.
What about, how come they didn't vote for me for mayor?
I don't know. Because you started your campaign 2 hours into the day after the poll though.
What, is that bad? I didn't want them to come
I told
up.
You all you had to do.
If I'd have started campaigning before that, then they'd have dug up all this garbage on me. I didn't want them doing all that. Just better to wait till the polls open.
The anonymous postcards. Tonight, so.
Did you ever find out who did that?
That's all we got for political garbage this week. We'll see you guys later. Take care.
See you later.
I like smoking lightning. Every